our lesson today on the pastor's study takes us to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8. And we're going to begin in two verses. We'll look at two verses to begin. A couple of verses many of you are probably familiar with. In Mark chapter 8, we want to look at verses 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Word of God tells us that a person can lose their soul. Man is made up of a body, soul, and spirit. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 2, when God created Adam in Genesis chapter 2, notice what's said here in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, there's the body, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, there's the spirit, and man became a living soul. And of course, there's the soul. So man was created by God with a body, soul, and spirit. And notice what also the Apostle Paul said to the believers at Thessalonica in his first letter to them, the first epistle of Thessalonians chapter number 5, in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, there's the spirit, soul, there's the soul, and body, there's the body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was praying for the believers at Thessalonica that their body, soul, and spirit would be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Scripture tells us when a person dies, the body is returned to the ground and becomes dust. Also, the spirit goes back to God, and the soul is eternal. It either goes to heaven or to hell. We know by looking at the Scriptures that the soul has a bodily shape. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Revelation just for a moment, in chapter number 6. Revelation chapter 6, in verses 9 through 11. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, this is a vision that Paul saw, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? In white robes, I want you to see this. We see that John saw souls under the altar up in the third heaven. And these were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Probably believers that were martyred during the tribulation. But in verse 11, notice, in white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said of them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants, also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So, in order for the souls that John saw under the altar there in the third heaven, to be able to, they were given robes. In order to wear those robes, the soul must have had a bodily shape. Also, we're told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, when the rich man died, it says, and in hell, referring to the rich man, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. In Luke, chapter 16, verse 23. And as you read down through that passage there in Luke, you see that this rich man's soul, because we know it wasn't his body is gone, buried in the ground, returns to death, dust, the soul returns to God, and so it's a soul. The soul lifted up its eyes, see, in hell. We see that the rich man's soul, as you read down through that passage, had a memory, and not only a memory, but all its five senses. My friend, if you're listening today and you've never received Jesus Christ by faith into your heart, believing Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save you from going to a sinner's hell, then your eternal soul will end up where the rich man's soul is right now today, and has been since he died, in a literal lake of fire for time and eternity. And I don't care if you don't believe it, because that's what God says. And if you don't want to believe what God says, then you have the problem and not God. You know, praise the Lord that God has given us his word. You know, some of the so-called intellects out there, the Bible scholars, believe that God could only inspire his word and not preserve it. That's nonsense. God not only inspired his word, but he also has preserved it in the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. And if you don't have a King James Bible, my friend, then you don't have God's word. You need to get rid of whatever other translation you have and get a King James Bible, and then you'll have a copy of God's word. But what a blessing it is to have God's word and to know what he wants you and me to do to be right with him, in order to know before we die, not after we die, what we need to be need to do to be right with him. So when we die, we know that we'll go to heaven and be with his dear son. And the word of God is very clear that a person has to receive Christ by faith into their heart, believing that he died. And the reason he died for your sins, because you're a sinner. Forget what society's trying to tell you. Amen. You're a sinner. Forget what philosophy is trying to tell you, that man is inherently good. No, he's not. He's inherently bad. Amen. Because he's received that fallen nature from his father Adam. Amen. All enter into the world with that sin nature. You see, it's going to be too late to try to make an exchange for your soul after you're dead. Your soul will be lost for all of eternity in a lake of fire. So right now, while you're alive, it's time to make the exchange. Right now. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you for your sins and receive Christ by faith into your heart, believing his shed sinless blood, and that alone is what paid for every one of your sins, past, present, and future. I did that. Amen. After someone witnessed to me and gave me a clear gospel presentation of what did I need to do to be right with God. Amen. I praise God. That was almost 17 years ago. And praise God, my friend, if you're already saved and born again and a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, then the Bible tells us clearly that you can never lose your eternal soul. You are eternally saved. No matter what the crazy maddocks say, amen. You can't lose your salvation. Amen. You cannot lose your salvation. Do you hear me? I don't care how you make it up, because you have to make it up, amen. You have to wrestle the scriptures, amen. You have to twist the scriptures, amen. You have to add to it and take it away in order to come up with your false doctrine of losing your salvation. In this present church age, the age of grace, my friend, you're sealed, amen. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. There are just too many verses that teach, amen, the doctrine of eternal security. I just want to look at a few of them while we have the time. I don't want to rush today. I want to show you clearly from the Word of God that you cannot lose your salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You can't lose your salvation. You're sealed until the day that your body is redeemed at Christ's return. If you're buried in the ground, you've died in Christ, you're going to come up. If you're alive at the return, your mortal body, the scripture says, will put on immortality. Praise the Lord for that. Glory, hallelujah, amen. You can run the bases on that one and wave the hanky and wave the flag, praise the Lord, amen. Of course, up here in New England, we don't do any of that because we're supposedly so dignified up here, amen. But praise the Lord. Looking in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you." Now, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing. Paul said, you can have confidence. Amen. He said, you can be confident about this very thing, that he, that's God, which has begun a good work in you. See, what God's begun in you, he's going to finish. And it takes him a little bit longer with some of us because we want to resist him. Amen. But he's going to finish it. Amen. He's going to finish it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the day that Christ returns to redeem us, to bring us up, to rapture, to catch us away. Amen. Jesus said over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, these are all verses that teach, amen, the doctrine of eternal security. My friend, if you're going to a church that doesn't teach the doctrine of eternal security, I'd get out of that church, amen. Chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus is speaking here. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." See, eternal life is given to you by God. You can't earn it. It's a gift. "And they shall never perish." Did you hear that? They, who Jesus Christ gives that gift of eternal life to, shall never perish. Amen. they won't lose their salvation. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. I remember using this last verse of Scripture, I and my Father are one, one day when the Jehovah's Witnesses came knocking on the door. And of course, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Amen. They believe that Jesus Christ is a God, a created God. And when I showed them that verse where it says, I and my Father are one, of course, their thing was, well, that's not what it means. Well, what does it mean? Take it literal. Jesus said, I and my Father are one and the same. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. Again, if you're in a church that doesn't teach that and believe that, get out of it. Amen. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You know, maybe this is just a review for some of you. Amen. But it's good to review. It's good to be able to have these scriptures at your fingertips when you're dealing with someone that says that you can lose your salvation. Amen. And of course, those that want to teach that you can lose your salvation usually won't go to the Pauline epistles or the Gospel of John. They'll run hither and yon, amen, to tribulation epistles, amen. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy with me, chapter number 1. Interesting here. Paul was persuaded about many things. And he writes about one of them that he's persuaded about here as he writes to Timothy in his second epistle to Timothy, the young preacher who he had led to the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he writes, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He also said that about the gospel. I am not ashamed, amen, of the gospel. Remember he said that? Where did he say that? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 16. We're going to find he was not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16 said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Getting back to also what he was not ashamed of, and he was persuaded here of in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 12, we read, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. And he suffered many things, folks. You know, we whine and complain when you're knocking a door and someone slams a door in the face, or and they do that occasionally, amen. Of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses have really ruined the door-to-door. Or if you hand someone a gospel tract, they may rip it up, and we get all upset about that. But this man really suffered, amen. He suffered for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. He said, For I know. Here's a man who had walked with the Lord for many years. He says, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What did Paul commit to the Lord? Souls. Paul is talking about souls that he had won to the Lord. He had committed to the Lord. And he's persuaded that God can keep them. Keep them what? Eternally secure against that day. What day? Again, that day he's referring to is when the Lord returns for the church that's made up of all born-again believers. Amen. And of course, probably one of the most familiar verses, probably one of the most quoted verses, amen, and it has to deal with eternal security, is John 3:16. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here it is in black and white. God's gift to mankind is his Son. He gave his Son to die. That's how much he loved for the world. He gave his Son to die for the sins of the world, to pay the price for the sins of the world. What a gift. What a great gift. Amen. None of us can ever outgive God. Amen. And whosoever believeth, that means anyone. Not as the Calvinists teach, the elect. Amen. It means whosoever. You can put your name in there, friend. Whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish. Amen. And will not end up in a lake of fire, but have everlasting life. Amen. With the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Amen. There's no reason if you're listening today and you're not saved, you should be saved today. God wants you to be saved. In fact, he is willing. He wants everyone to be saved. He's not willing, the Word of God says, that any should perish, but that all should come. Amen. Should come under repentance, to repent of their sins. That's right. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let's look at one last passage here that deals with eternal security. The doctrine that you cannot lose your salvation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And that's really what it is, salvation. It's the love of Christ. God's love for you and I, eternal life. "Shall tribulation or distresses or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No matter what we go through, no matter what we may face in this life, nothing will cause us to be separated from the love of Christ, to lose our salvation. He says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Here's another thing Paul was persuaded about. "For I am persuaded," Paul said, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what it's talking about, your salvation. Paul covers all the bases. There's nothing that can separate us, that can sever us, amen, from the love of God. There are many other verses, amen, that teach that you're eternally saved. If you're born again, child of God, you cannot lose your salvation. However, even though the Christian cannot lose his salvation, there are still some things the Scripture tells us that he can lose. And that's really the main thrust of this study is I want us to look at some things today and on the pastor's study, and then we'll probably have to at least have another time to finish this off. But I want us to look at things a Christian can lose. The first one we want to begin to look at is his testimony. It can take a Christian a lifetime to build a testimony for Christ. You know what? And all it takes is one slip up to lose it. Of course, some Christians' testimonies only extend as far as the church walls. You see, they come in on Sunday and act so pious, and the rest of the week they live for the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know that Lot lost his testimony because when he went to warn his son-in-laws of the coming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, he tried to warn them of the coming destruction. And in Genesis 19, verse 14, it says they mocked him. They laughed at him. You know, basically they said, what are you getting religious all of a sudden? Go on and get out of here. You know, run on, Sonny. And you see, this is the similar reaction a saved person gets when they try to witness to the lost after they've been living an ungodly life. For example, we see King David lost his testimony for committing adultery with Bathsheba and having her husband Uriah murdered. Amen. Look in 2 Samuel for a moment. In 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse number 14. 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. Nathan tells David, here in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, how be it, because by this deed, amen, committing adultery, having Uriah murdered, how be it, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born under thee shall surely die. So because of the sin that David committed, or sins, committing adultery with Bathsheba, having her husband murdered in battle, the enemies of God, the unsaved, were given an occasion, a reason, to blaspheme God. Oh, look at David. Big Christian, isn't he? Look at how great he is. He's no better than we are. Why should we be saved? See, that's what happens. That's the attitude. After you've lost your testimony and you try to go back and witness, amen, that's the reaction you're going to get. So we need to be careful. Amen. Again, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony. But all it takes is one slip-up to lose it. And once you lose it, my friend, it's really hard to gain it back. Amen. The respect back from the people that you've lost it in front of. Well, that's all the time we have today in the pastor's study. I want to stop here today at this point. We will continue this study on things that Christian can lose. We'll finish out this first point that a Christian can lose their testimony when we meet again on the pastor's study. Again, as I've mentioned before, many times before, any of these studies are available to you on cassette tape. All you have to do is contact me at the address that will be given to you in just a few moments. Give me the title of the study you want, and I'll get it off to you. And again, I thank those that have written, that are listening. And as I sign off today, thank you for listening once again to the Pastor's Study. This is Pastor Gino Cassieri saying, my prayer is for each and every one of you that God would richly bless you, and good day.